Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We took a look at this chapter last time, got started in it, got down to verse number 12. We're taking a look at the ministry of the apostles, because the ministry of the apostles is an example to all others, especially those men that are ordained to be preachers, pastors, and missionaries. It's a good example to all of us. We'd ask the question, Brother Jim, why does the church need to know about these passages that deal with the ministers of the Lord? Well, it may be, brethren, that you might be called of the Lord to be a minister, a preacher, a pastor, a missionary. Or it could be, even sisters, you won't be called to be that, but you would be called upon as a member of one of the Lord's churches to be involved with praying and looking to a new pastor. So we need to know what the Bible says about these, and have kind of lumped them all together, the ordained mixed with those that are not ordained, and to take a look at what the Scripture says about this. In this chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, very much tied to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe, he says in here in verse number 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, it is a ministry, it is a calling of the Lord. He goes in these earlier verses, as we looked at last time, he says, we are not following a cunning program or taking the Word of God, handling it dishonestly, but we're telling it in truth. We're commending ourselves and the calling of the Lord upon us to every man's conscience in the sight of God, verse number 2. He says, we have this stand and we have this Word from God that we're giving to you, to all men, and we want you to hear from your heart to the Lord. Our ministry, our work here in the church is not one of force. We don't force anybody to do anything. It's all by willing and freedom of the mind, if you will, as it is said. He talks about the gospel being hid, and who's it hid? It's hid to them that are lost, those that have been blinded by Satan, verse number 4. He says in verse number 5, we don't preach ourselves, and I tell you, beware of a man that preaches of himself, but rather we preach Christ. He says, we are servants, verse number 5, ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. And this whole pattern that we see with the apostles is that their lives were used up for the sake of the saints. Their lives were used up to reach the saints, to minister to the saints, to teach the saints. And we see that in the Scriptures. To give this light, verse number 6, this treasure that we have in earthen vessels, it's amazing. Not that the power be of us, but it be of God. Verse number 8, we're troubled, we're distressed, perplexed. He's given these contrasts. He said we're really, really pressed in all these things, but we don't come to the end of them. Why? Verse number 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord, Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. How is it that they go on? How is it that they pursue such a thing? How is it that only for the sake of, as they say, souls of sinners being saved, do they keep on enduring these things? That's the witness of them. For we which live, verse number 11, are delivered alway, are delivered unto death, always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. So our lives are being used up, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Again, it's not about us, it's about the Lord. And this life is used for the sake of the ministry and testimony of the Lord. And you know what? If we can get that settled in our hearts and our minds, it's kind of in connection with the message. Indeed, it's in connection with the message this morning. What can we give for the sake of the Lord in this life, or the ministry that we've been called to, like in my case, or the ministry that you've been called to as being members of Olmsted Baptist Church? What can we give to our Lord in that the Lord can't do better, that the Lord can't reward better or bless better? We cannot. Verse number 12, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. And so this is one of the verses that I take, that he is speaking about the ministry of the apostles. He starts off in verse number 1 that way, and he says to this church, writing this second epistle unto us, unto them, he said, so then death works in us, the ministers of the Lord, the apostles, but life in you, a blessing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I want us to be reminded of something that is said here, and it's a small statement that's made in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And again, this ministry here, he says in verse number 1 of this chapter, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. He's talking about the apostles and those that have come to them. Remember, the church at Corinth's got problems, made up of saints, people that are saved, Gentiles namely, that the apostles spent there 18 months for that church to be started, sinners to be saved by the Lord, and that church to be started there. And he gave of his life at the calling of the Lord for that. And they've got some problems, and so he's writing to them. And they have doubt about whether they should. There's a contingent there that has doubt about whether they should listen to him now or not. Okay? And he's making the appeal to them that they should listen because he's the same minister that ministered unto them. Verse number 8. This is what I want us to be reminded of as we consider this in 2 Corinthians 4. Now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. He makes a contrast there about what the Lord has done for them, being saved, a church being established there. Their faith and what the Lord has done here in Corinth is not a fad. But understand, in Corinth, it is a new thing. These people have been used to following after a number of pagan gods. Now they have one God. Now they have a God that not just requires of them, but a God that sent his son to be a savior for them. It's unlike any other god that they've ever heard of. Why? Because the gods that they have are made of men. And now they understand and are saved by the Lord, and they stand out. And you know what? It seems like that the witness of the Lord, well, the witness of the Lord there has been great, and many have been saved. And things have changed in Corinth because of this group of people. They have the blessings of the Lord. They haven't. It doesn't seem as if they've borne the hardship that their Jewish brethren did down in Jerusalem in that region at the time of our Lord, and when he fulfilled his gospel and left his church there in Jerusalem. How it was necessary for them to bring all their stuff together so they could live for a period of time. They had hardship, but he says to them, "You are full. You are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us." He said, you've had a great blessing there upon you. It has been wonderful. And I would to God that you did reign. He said, I'm not begrudging you that, but use it well. Don't use it to serve self, but use it to serve the Lord. I would to God that you did reign, and we also might reign with you. He said, I would like to be there with you, because Paul's not with them physically. He's on to another place, another calling. I'd like to be there right there enjoying it with you. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last. See, remember what the Lord Jesus said? The Lord Jesus said, let's turn over here to Matthew 19 so we can read this. You can read this for yourself. We can all read it together. Matthew chapter 19. And the context here is interesting. Verse 28. Peter has asked, what should we have for following you? Verse 28 of Matthew chapter 19. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I bet that was a shock. Verse 29, and every one that hath forsaken houses, a shock to the apostles, mean us, from Galilee, sitting on thrones, judging. You know, I think it was beyond. Peter asked, what shall we have? And he's kind of thinking houses, land, stuff like that. He said, you're going to have authority from me. Verse 29, and every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Listen, right along with that, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. right there along with what the Lord says is the blessing for those that obey Him and follow Him. He says, those that are first are going to be last. The apostle here in chapter 1, verse 4 of Corinthians says, I think that He set us last. Were they not the first leadership in the church? But were they not, being the first leadership in the church, the most abused? At least from our perspective, you know, we've not had, I mean, there was suffering of the saints and of Baptists in this country early on, but you and I have not seen it in this country. Not to the shedding of blood, not to imprisonment, and not to the threat of not being able to meet. From the standpoint of the physical, the apostles were set last. Being first, but were set last by the wisdom of God. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. Why? For the sake of the gospel of Christ being taken on to others. And so the church there at Corinth, the saints there at Corinth, are the benefactors of that. And he's bringing that to them back in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 12. So death worketh in us, but he says life in you. You're living. You're prospering in the Lord. You have the blessings of the Lord. You've got it so good that different ones can bring food at different times and thinking that they're observing the Lord's Supper, and you all don't even wait on each other because you don't think you need each other because you've just got it great in every way. He said there are some that lack, that are being shamed, but you've just got it all. Why? Because there were those that went before you and were used of the Lord to be a blessing unto you. Verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith as you, according as it is written in the book of Psalms, Psalms 116, I believe and therefore have I spoken. He said, we also believe and therefore speak. He said, I am telling you, we have the same faith. Your faith is in Christ, my faith is in Christ. And because we have that faith in Christ, we've all got something to say. He said, what I'm saying to you is of God, is of the Lord. I remind you again how it said, he said over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, at the end of that chapter, verse number 19, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Talks cheap, but is the power there? For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? And so, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, I've got the same spirit as you, and you are speaking. Well, I've got something to say too, and you need to hear it. You need to hear it and know that it's from the Lord. Verse 14 in 2 Corinthians 4, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Now, he tells the church in Thessalonica, he tells them, let me get over here and get that passage. He's talking about to them about the reward that he has. First Thessalonians chapter 2, let me get the right chapter. He says, for what is our hope? 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope, or our joy, or our crown of rejoicing? Are not ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? He said, you know what my reward is? You know what my joy is? You know what my hope is? Hope, joy, crown of rejoicing? It's you standing before the Lord too, all of us there together. He said, that's my reward. Not the crowns, not the mansion, not the piece of real estate that the Lord gives me in the new heaven and the new earth, but you being there. That's the blessing. It's you being rescued, me being rescued. And the Lord used me to be a witness to you. It's all His plan. As he writes them early on, He said, Apollos watered and another planted and one watered and God gave the increase. It's all the Lord's work. He said, don't be big-headed about what the Lord has done for us. He says, and in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. He said, we're here together in this and shall present us with you. I'll be there too. You know, you wonder how the Lord's going to do all that and the judgments and the final reckoning and all those things. Will it be that He will assemble His ministers and those that the Lord used Him to be a minister to, saints that witnessed to others and that were saved as a result of their witness, and there'll be that reckoning? I mean, each one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I don't think the reckoning is... I mean, the Lord says everything that's said in secret is going to be shouted on the rooftop. I think it's going to be pretty incremental and pretty detailed. And He says, we're going to be there together. Maybe at Paul's, as he stands before the judgment seat of Christ, he said, I've done these things for your sakes at the calling of the Lord. Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. Me being there for 18 months at the command of the Lord, me witnessing and bringing you the Word of God, sowing the seed, the Word of God, the Spirit of God moving within you to save you and bring you and open your eyes and illuminate you, and then teaching you how to operate and be as one of the Lord's churches, and then this rebuke, this reproof that I'm giving to you now, it's for your sakes. You know, the man of God stands in that place that sometimes he's got to tell the truth, but the truth doesn't want to be heard. The truth doesn't want to be heard. And the thing is so many times, if the man of God brings up the thing out of the Word of God that needs to be brought before the people of God, it can happen to where he's the bad guy. He's the bad guy that's brought up the truth of what's going on. But if he's following the Word of God and what the Lord has said, he's not the bad guy. Because the thing is whoever's at error needs to be right, needs to follow the Lord right. If it's the man of God that's in error, he needs to be right. If it's the people of God, we need to be right. He says, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace, the abundant favor, might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. He said, I'm thankful for you being saved. You need to be thankful for me to be here a minister unto you to tell you the truth of what God says. It's the Lord's good work on us together. It's all wrapped up there together. In Philippians chapter 2, I want to take a look at a verse over here. And it's so interesting how to all the churches, you know, we've got the epistles of Paul that the Lord used Paul to write from Romans to 2 Thessalonians. And so many things, he says the same thing. Maybe the word's a little bit different, but he says the same thing unto all these churches. We can find pieces and parts. In this of the apostles, being last, and yet they were the first leadership, but they were last from the standpoint of being all of them, for the most part, except John, martyred for the sake of Christ. I mean, when's the last time you knew of a missionary or a pastor that was martyred for the sake of Christ? We've had that blessing. We don't live, not yet, have we not lived in that kind of a day. None of us know personally. And even by extension, other than a historical reference, do we know of any Baptists that have been killed? Do you know a Baptist that's been killed for the sake of Christ? I don't, you know, in the time of my life or connected to my family. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 17, yea, Here's an attitude that the ministers of the Lord need to follow. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. You know, from the witness of the scriptures, I want a pastor that'll give of himself. Now, not of a pastor that'll give of himself to wash your car. I mean, be willing to if you're hobbled up and you need somebody to wash your car. Not to be a servant in that sense, although willingness needs to be there. But the minister of God, the pastor of the Lord, is not a hired hand, so to speak, but one that gives of himself for the benefit of the church and for the membership. To say that hard thing that needs to be said sometimes when the Word of God needs to be brought forth, and that to pray for a people. Moses said, I need to be praying for you. And the ministers of God do need to be praying for the people of God. Not that there's any special power with us, but there is a responsibility and a calling there to be that under-shepherd. He says, the apostle says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, if I be used up for the sake of the Lord reaching you to believe, to serve, he said, I'm happy. I'm happy. And he said, there's nothing vain or empty about that at all. I joy and rejoice with you all. The one that's been saved, the one that's been added to the Lord's church, one of the Lord's churches, indeed does rejoice. I mean, don't you rejoice that the Lord saved your soul? I mean, you remember how it was before the Lord saved you? It was a mess and on the way to hell. And then the thing is, being deceived, thought everything was great till the word of the Lord came along. I mean, looking back on that, that's plumb scary, isn't it? Going down a wide, broad boulevard on the way to hell, didn't have a clue. Then the light of the Lord shined. Then the witness of the Lord came. Then the word of God came. He said, oh, wow, this is terrible. What's going on here, the direction I'm going? Hell being real and hell being hot and hell being forever and separated from God. And even the blessings of this life taken away. That thing got serious. And God became real and great as He is. Praise be to God for it. Don't you rejoice in that? And then here in our day, our blessing is we've been privileged to understand about the Lord's church, the Lord's institution, the last institution, the third institution of His church, where brothers and sisters are joined together to fulfill a commission that the Lord's given to support one another, to have the fellowship one another, comfort and help of one another. I mean, don't you rejoice in that? What's better? What's better? Tell me something that's better. Tell me something that's more eternal. Brothers and sisters, one day we're moving our membership here. One day we're moving our membership to the church there that's with the Lord. You're in the church, you're in the Lord's church, you're going to be in the Lord's church. He says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. So come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. He said, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace, the abundant favor, might through the thanksgiving of many may redound to the glory of God. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. He says, I'm thankful as the minister of the Lord being used this way, and you're thankful that you've been reached. And you know what? Of some of you in Corinth will be called to go ahead and be ministers otherwise to other parts of the world and even that region there in Greece. For which cause we faint not. For this calling of God, this blessing of the Lord, we don't faint. But though our outward man, it dies, this old flesh, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Why? The Spirit of God lives within. He says this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now you go and you review the affliction that the apostle suffered. I've never been beat. I've never been shipwrecked. I've never been left for dead. Have you? I've not. not for the sake of the Lord. And he calls that light affliction. Isn't that something? Which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He says, the affliction for the sake of the Lord brings this exceeding weight of glory. Not pride, not self-wisdom, but the pursuit of what the Lord has given us. Oh, it chews up the old man, the outward man, the natural man. But I tell you what, he says, the glory is exceeding, it's eternal, and it's great. This light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, you know, and that we can help ourselves if we will do that. While we look not on the things which are seen, like the outward man, like the infirmity of the flesh, like the hardship of life or pursuing the way of the Lord would bring upon this flesh. Is the new man ever hurt? Is the new man ever damaged? Is the new man ever compromised? No. No. What hurts and what suffers is the old man. Well, he's on the way out anyway. He's on the way out anyway. While we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, the calling of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the future that we have with the Lord, for the things which are seen are temporal, just for a time. For a moment, he says in verse number 17, he said, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they're eternal. They are eternal. You know what? I said, Brother Jim, my afflictions are great. I tell you what, they will be great if we look on the things that are seen. But if we look on the things that are not seen, by the Spirit of the Lord, through His Word, and the calling that we have, those promises that we have in the Lord, indeed, as the Apostle Paul says, we can say that it's a light affliction. We can say that it's a light affliction. I want us quickly to go over here, and we'll not go all through this, but I just want to give a taste of it. In Matthew chapter 10, we see this. And I'd forgotten about this until recently. And in our subject has been about the apostles, about the ministers of the Lord from Ephesians chapter 4. The apostles being first in that. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and the example that that is unto ministers now. The apostles are our examples. We come here to Matthew chapter 10. We read in verse number 1. And when he, that is Jesus, had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, so the Lord has chosen his apostles, and they're named here by the Lord's own testimony. We know by the witness of the scriptures that one of them is a devil. That didn't slide by the Lord Jesus Christ. There needed to be one. It was ordained of God that there would be one that would betray him, and Judas was chosen to that calling. I'm glad that's passed. I'm glad that's passed. Brother Jim, that just doesn't seem fair. You're not dealing with a man. You're dealing with God. Judas evidently was able to do all these things that the Lord said that the apostles could do. But you know what? One thing that this speaks to us about, that there's no station in the church that makes a person saved. even at being an apostle in the Lord's church, it's not salvation of the soul. Salvation of the soul comes through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saving the sinner. Judas was a faker. Judas was there at the ministry of John the Baptist. He went up and submitted to baptism by John the Baptist, saying that he had repented and trusted in that one that John preached. The Lord Jesus Christ, he followed along with the Lord Jesus Christ until it came into that day that the Lord picked him. Not only was Judas an apostle, but Judas was the treasurer. Office in the church is not salvation. Salvation comes by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Our Lord's going to lay out the marching orders for our brethren. And if you're familiar with this passage, you know what it says. But, you know, the world for marching orders and for a pitch line to kind of recruit somebody, you know, companies want good people. They give them a real good recruiting line, right? Tell you what, we wouldn't look at this as a good recruiting line. But the thing is it's worked an exceeding weight of glory for these brethren. And it's glorified our Father. You know what? These brethren that were chosen first to be the leadership in the church, and then the apostle said, looks like he's made us last from the standpoint of abuse and spectacle made by the world and all that. You know how the Lord said they're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel? You know who else is doing that? Nobody, because they're doing that. I tell you what, that's pretty exclusive, isn't it? Pretty exclusive. Now, I'll just give you this as a sideline. I'm not dogmatic about this in any wise, but just supposing. Doesn't the book of Revelation tells us that there's 24 elders at hand before the throne of God? I wonder if those apostles aren't our brethren, 12 of them, that are those elders there before the Lord. I don't know. We'll know one day when we get there. May the Lord help and bless His Word. Next time we'll go to this passage, Lord willing. We'll see the directive that He gives to our brethren. And, you know, this is not, by no means do I want to paint a picture of doom and gloom. For the flesh, it's not real positive. But for the work of the glory of the Lord, I tell you what, there's nothing better than the eternal calling of the Lord for His ministers. If a man and his family will understand this, they can be helped and be blessed as they go along in the ministry for our Lord. It's the Lord's design. Pray for your pastor. I know you do. I need your prayers. May the Lord help and bless each and every one.